The next case on the docket this morning is case number 2017-469, caption Chagrin Realty Inc. v. Testa. Representing the appellant cross appellee, Ms. Wade.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Anastasia Wade. I am here with my co-counsel, Terry Vincent, and we represent the appellant, Chagrin Realty Inc. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. This case is about what makes an entity a charitable institution such that it's exempt from property taxes under Ohio law. There are three entities at the center of this case: Chagrin Realty, the Leonard C. Rosenberg Foundation, and Community Dialysis Center. The property at issue in this case is owned by Chagrin Realty and leased to Community Dialysis Center to use to provide hemodialysis treatments to renal patients regardless of their ability to pay. In turn, the Rosenberg Foundation is the sole member of Chagrin Realty, an entity that was formed purely to hold title to the property at issue. If the Rosenberg Foundation or Community Dialysis Center held title to this property, we would likely not be here today. Instead, the Rosenberg Foundation placed the property in the possession of Chagrin Realty to protect themselves from certain liabilities. Because of this three-pronged relationship among the Rosenberg Foundation, Community Dialysis Center, and Chagrin Realty, there's a question as to whether the property is entitled to a tax exemption. Now, the Ohio Revised Code, Section 5709.12, provides an exemption from property taxation for property used exclusively for charitable purposes. Revised Code 5709.121 clarified this exemption to apply to charitable institutions who lease the property to another charitable institution to use in the furtherance of charitable services. Property qualifies for a tax exemption under this section if it is owned by a charitable institution and leased without a view to profit to another charitable institution to provide charitable services. It is essentially a three-step inquiry. First, the court must determine whether the owner of the property is a charitable institution. Second, the court must determine whether the property is leased with a view to profit. And third, the court must determine whether the property is leased to a charitable institution to use in furtherance of charitable services. The Board of Tax Appeals in this case denied the charitable tax exemption to Chagrin Realty based on its failure to pass the first two steps. The first question in the analysis is whether Chagrin Realty qualifies as a charitable institution. The board held that it does not because its only purpose is to lease the property at issue with a view to profit. To understand why the board is incorrect, one has to look at the type of entity Chagrin Realty is. Chagrin Realty was organized as a 501c2 corporation under the Internal Revenue Code to qualify as an exempt institution from federal income tax. As a 501c2, it's limited to owning title to property and leasing it. All the money collected from leasing the property is distributed to its sole member parent, the Rosenberg Foundation, which has to be another nonprofit organization under federal law. It is truly in substance simply a pass-through company used to protect the property of its sole nonprofit member. Chagrin Realty, by federal law, is not allowed to profit from the lease. As its purpose is so limited and it is simply a pass-through entity, the charitable nature of its sole member, the Rosenberg Foundation, is what should be considered to determine whether Chagrin Realty qualifies for the property tax exemption under Ohio law. Considering the nature of the parent to determine whether a title-holding entity is charitable is consistent with previous Ohio cases. In Dialysis Center of Dayton versus Testa, the court determined whether the title-holding LLC, a disregarded entity under federal law, was a charitable based on the charitable nature or non-charitable nature of its owners. When it was owned by private physicians who used it for profitability, it was not a charitable institution. It was properly subject to property taxation. When the ownership of the LLC moved from the private physicians to a hospital, the property was determined to be owned by a charitable institution. Likewise, in Rural Health Collaborative of Southern Ohio versus Testa, the court also considered the activities and charitable nature of Rural Health's members to determine whether Rural Health was a charitable institution under Ohio law. As a 501c2 title-holding entity, Chagrin Realty merely functions as an instrumentality of the Rosenberg Foundation. to determine whether the property held by Chagrin Realty for the benefit of the Rosenberg Foundation is entitled to a charitable exemption, the court should consider whether the Rosenberg Foundation is a charitable institution. The board only considered Chagrin Realty and its limited activities to conclude that the property was not tax exempt. And this is where Chagrin Realty contends the board made a reversible error. The Rosenberg Foundation is a charitable institution. It provides monetary support to the Community Dialysis Center, another Ohio nonprofit corporation that provides hemodialysis treatments to renal patients with or without the ability to pay for such treatments. The Rosenberg Foundation also funds renal research and education, as well as providing funding for MOTEP, the Minority Organ Tissue Transplant Education Program, which educates the minority community about the need for prevention of renal disease and the need for transplantation. The purpose of the Rosenberg Foundation is to provide medical services, research, and education to those in need. Chagrin Realty, as an instrumentality of the Rosenberg Foundation, supports this purpose by holding title to and leasing the property and dispersing all lease payments to the Rosenberg Foundation. Therefore, Chagrin Realty, when considered in conjunction with the Rosenberg Foundation, functions as a charitable organization. Second, Chagrin Realty leases the property without a view to profit. The property contains a building which is leased to Community Dialysis Center to provide hemodialysis services. The construction of the building was funded by the Rosenberg Foundation. Chagrin Realty leases the building to the Community Dialysis Center for the amortized price of constructing the building, plus monthly expenses for utilities and other such things. It's what's referred to as a triple net lease. As a 501c2, all lease payments Chagrin Realty receives are paid to the Rosenberg Foundation. The Rosenberg Foundation paid for the original construction and is merely recouping over time the amount it originally paid. The lease payments appear as a profit on Chagrin Realty's books because the liability for the construction of the building does not. Chagrin Realty simply acts as a flow-through company for Community Dialysis Center to pay the Rosenberg Foundation back for the construction of the building. The lease isn't a profit, but merely to repay. Chagrin Realty, as an entity that cannot keep the lease payments, is not leasing the property with a view to profits. Finally, Chagrin Realty leases the property to Community Dialysis Center as another charitable institution to use the property to provide hemodialysis treatments to renal patients in need. Community Dialysis Center provides these treatments to patients regardless of their ability to pay for them. While the majority of the patients of Community Dialysis Center do pay some amount for the hemodialysis services, either by themselves or through insurance, they usually pay less than the actual cost of the treatment. Additionally, these treatments are offered to anyone, regardless of their ability to pay, and some patients do not pay anything for the treatments. Community Dialysis Center provides these services often at a loss, even when they collect some form of payment. The provision of medical services to the community members without the ability to pay for the full cost of the service on the property is a charitable use of the property. Community Dialysis Center, as a provider of these services, is in turn a charitable institution. In the end, Chagrin Realty, as the title holder of the property, is merely an instrumentality of the Rosenberg Foundation, a charitable institution. It leases the property at issue to the Community Dialysis Center at an amount that is calculated to merely recoup the cost of constructing the building for the Rosenberg Foundation and not with a view to profit from the lease. All lease payments for the property flow through Chagrin Realty to the Rosenberg Foundation, and Chagrin Realty retains none of the payments as a profit. Community Dialysis Center, in turn, uses the property to provide hemodialysis treatments to renal patients, regardless of their ability to pay, and often at a loss to Community Dialysis Center. Therefore, the property at issue is leased by a charitable institution without a view to profit to a charitable institution who uses the property to further its charitable purpose. The property at issue qualifies for a property tax exemption under Ohio law. We respectfully request that the court overturn the Board of Tax Appeals decision and hold that Chagrin Realty qualifies for a property tax exemption under Ohio law for the property at issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hussein.
Master Commissioner Mendoza, may it please the court. Chagrin Realty is seeking charitable exemption for property that it owns. And because it's the owner, the burden is on it to show that it meets all the requirements of the statutes. And because it's seeking exemption, the statutes are to be strictly construed against exemption. And yet, factually, Chagrin presented nothing. It's not using the property exclusively for charitable purposes, it is not a charitable institution, and it is using the property with a view to profit. The board had no choice but to find that Chagrin's property is not exempt. Their brief is long on rhetoric, but very short on citations to the record, other than self-serving testimony at the hearing, because what the record shows is that there is no charitable activity, no charitable purpose, and the property is being used with a view to profit. Chagrin Realty is in the business of leasing property, both to nonprofit entities and for-profit entities, earning $2 million in revenue every year from 2002 to 2008, evidencing their view-to-profit use activities and affirmatively defeating the exemption. Now, citations to the record in the supplement show this $2 million in revenue. I'll just list it real quick. Is supplement pages 73, 74, 107, 108, 142, 174, and 175. So they didn't provide any evidence of using the property exclusively for charitable purposes for the years at issue. And this isn't a harsh result. This is something they had to earn. The burden's on them, and they didn't meet their burden. If you fail to meet any of the requirements, it defeats exemption. So Chagrin Realty does not qualify for exemption under 0.12 or 0.121 for several independent reasons. Most basically because it's using the property with a view to profit and it's not a charitable institution. Now just looking at 0.12, exemption is provided for property belonging to, which means owned by, an institution that is using the property exclusively for charitable purposes. And that's not the case here. What they are doing is leasing the property, which isn't a charitable activity. And this court has long held that to use property has long held that leasing is not an exclusive charitable activity because all you're doing is charging someone else to use the property. You yourself are not using the property for charitable activities. And the case law on this is Geneva Shadow Art Dialysis Clinic, Northeast Ohio Psychiatric. What Chagrin Realty is using the property for, and many other properties, is to gain $2 million in lease income, which is the same as Northeast Ohio Psychiatric. The lessor was generating substantial profit and leasing to for-profit entities, and that's exactly what Chagrin Realty does. Also, looking at the mentor location specifically, the lease amounts were set up to earn it a profit because first, by their own admission, the lease amount is meant to cover the acquisition cost plus all ongoing costs because it's a triple net lease, as counsel mentioned, taxes, utilities, insurance, maintenance, those are all covered. So what we know also is that the value of property increases over time. It's appreciation of value. So all Chagrin is left with is pure profit from its increase in value of the property without any, they've immunized themselves from any expenses associated with the property. And since Chagrin's only activity is leasing, to get around this non-charitable activity, Chagrin wants the court to substitute its purpose for that of its parent corporation, the Rosenberg Foundation. And this is wrong for two reasons. First, this court has a long established rule that parent and subsidiary corporations are separate and distinct legal entities, and it's held this in the tax exemption context in Mutual Holdings v. Limbaugh and General Motors Corporation. There's not a single case where this court has held that you can disregard a separate legal entity for purpose of charitable exemption. And the only case they rely on is Humphreys versus Little Sisters of the Poor. And that case actually supports our position. In that case, the lessor was using the property for leasing, and the court held that the Little Sisters who were leasing the property, we can't look to their use of it. We have to look at the lessor, and it was held to not qualify for exemption because it was being used for leasing. There is some discussion in that case about a special circumstance that if there's a trust, you can look to the belonging to language and look at the trust. But that was talking about it in the context of the Gerke case. It was citing the Little Humphreys of the Sisters of Poor was citing to Gerke, which is a special situation where the archbishop holds the property in trust for the Catholic diocese. In this situation, we don't have a trust. And when there is a trust, The trust is held, all legal rights of ownership except for title are held by the trust. But in this case, Chagrin holds all legal rights of ownership. They have complete rights to dispose of the property however they feel the need to. And all they do is turn over their net earnings to their parent corporation, Rosenberg Foundation. And that's actually a common thing in corporate law for entities to turn over their earnings to their parent corporation. It doesn't make them a trust, and it under charitable Ohio law, it doesn't make them stand in place of the owner for who the property is belonging to. Second, Chagrin focuses on Rosenberg because Chagrin, since it turns over its net income, the court they want the court to look at how the Rosenberg Foundation is using the net income. But this court has long rejected that look at the use of proceeds from the lease of a property as a substitute for the use of the property itself. The court has rejected that in the context of dialysis cases, in the dialysis clinic case, and also in Benjamin Rose and Hubbard Press. Under point 1.2, the activities that are alleged to be charitable must be done on the property by the owner. And getting proceeds so that someone else can do a charitable activity is not a charitable use. Now focusing on point 1.2.1, so again, there are several reasons why they don't qualify for exemption under this statute. First and foremost, the owner, the person that the property belongs to, is Chagrin Realty, and they don't qualify as a charitable institution for the same reasons we discussed under point 1.2, because they're leasing the property with a view to profit, and by its own articles of incorporation, we see that it has no purpose other than to hold title to property, lease it, and get income from it. And Chagrin Realty makes a large profit from its leasing activities, $2 million in rental income for all of its properties. So Chagrin somehow thinks that its IRS 501c2 status qualifies as a charitable institution, but this is actually the opposite. If you look, the IRS, by its own terms, identifies 501c2 corporations as non-charitable exempt organizations. I would like to refer you to section Roman numeral 7 in the 990s. It's at supplement pages 213 and 280. In that section, it was for CDC to identify transactions with non-charitable exempt organizations, and under there, they identify the transactions with the 501c2 Chagrin Realty. And so they didn't have to organize themselves as a 501c2. They could have sought charitable status as a 501c3, but they didn't. It was their choice. And actually, if you look at the language of the statute for 501c2s, there's no requirement for them to be even organized as a nonprofit. They could be organized as a for-profit entity and still qualify as an IRS-exempt organization. And even looking at 501c3, this court has repeatedly held that qualifying as a charitable entity under the IRS revenue code is not determinative under Ohio law, and that U.S. Congress does not define the scope of charitable use in Ohio law. And the court held this in Northeast Ohio Psychiatric, Dialysis Clinic, NBC Housing. Instead, we have to look at the activities of the entity themselves to see if they qualify as charitable. Also, repeatedly, both in argument and briefing, Chagrin has claimed that they are restricted from generating a profit. There's no restriction. The only thing that they're restricted from doing, they have to own title of property and lease it out and generate income from it. There's no restriction on how much income, whether they can turn a profit or not. Yes, they do then turn over their proceeds to their parent corporation, but there's no limit on how much the proceeds can be and how they gain those proceeds. So they also try to, again, rely on the Rosenberg Foundation and the Rural Health case to support their position under point 1.2.1. And so I need to make something clear. So the Rural Health decision, the court and the board held that Rural Health itself, even though there was a collaborative with different entities that made up, Rural Health itself, under its own name, applied for grants for pregnancy care, tobacco cessation, diabetic education, blood drives. So the court held that Rural Health itself was a charitable institution based on its own activities. So that's different from Chagrin, because Chagrin doesn't have any activities itself. But then also, Chagrin points out that at the time of the hearing, they had not been engaging in this these activities. But what the focus is on what they were doing at the time for which they're applying for exemption. So in this case, it's 2003 to 2006. And that's, I wanted to point that out because at the hearing, a lot of the testimony for Chagrin was in the present tense, what they're doing presently, what their charity care policy is presently. But what is relevant is focusing on what it was at the time of the relevant period, which is 2003 to 2006. So in rural health, during the relevant time period, they were doing those activities and they were rightly held to be a charitable institution. And that's different from this case. And this case is actually more like Northeast Ohio Psychiatric. Also, they, when talking about rural health, indicated that the court made a distinction between the ownership of rural health, whether it's by for-profit or by the hospital alone, and that made a difference of whether they qualified for exemption. But in that case, the only statute that they were focused on was under 0.12, because rural health itself was doing dialysis activities, and they split-listed the property. So the portion that was denied exemption was the portion that was being leased to a for-profit entity and was being leased to an entity that had for-profit ownership, and that portion was denied exemption, and that's actually kind of similar, more similar to what we have going on here. Chagrin Realty also attempts in its briefing to rely on Breeze and Morris as authority in support of its position and to look at the intent behind the lease amounts. But I would like to point out that first, that those cases dealt with a different statute. It was under the public schoolhouse exemption, which is 5709.07, and there's significant difference in the language in those in that statute and the charitable exemption. So in the charitable exemptions, we first have to look at who the property belongs to. That belonging to language is in 0.12 and 0.121, but not in the public schoolhouse exemption. So that is how the court then went beyond and looked at the intent of the lessor. But we don't get there in this case because you first have to look at who the property belongs to and how the property is being used by the owner. But I would also like to point out that in Anderson Maltby, the court held that the lessor leased to for-profit entities and they make a substantial profit from its leasing activities. And that is exactly what Chagrin Realty does as well. So it's actually, if you do want to look at intent, the similar holding should be held in this case. So even if the non-charitable status of Chagrin wouldn't defeat the exemption would be defeated by the fact that the lessee, CDC, and its sound-alike entity that actually occupies and performs dialysis activities on the property are non-charitable institutions, and that is a requirement of well, and which they have failed to meet. The testimony attempts to obscure this information, but the record is very clear that a management company organized for profit performs dialysis care through its personnel and its possession of the property. And that is found in note 3 of the financial statements on supplement page 50. So in terms of considering who is using the property, it's certainly we have to consider the fact that a for-profit entity is actually occupying the premises and generating earnings from it. And this is similar to the dialysis centers of Dayton case where the for-profit use portion of the property was denied exemption. So Chagrin tries to claim that the tax commissioner did not present the for-profit entity issue properly before the board. First, there was a non-traditional form of briefing where we had simultaneous briefing. They requested for a surreply brief. We didn't oppose it. The board denied it. They should have appealed that denial of surreply if they wanted to pursue additional briefing. Also, they claimed that we relied on new evidence, and that's not true because it's Chagrin's own exhibits that we had relied on. So skipping ahead, if we disregard all of those reasons and look at CDC, in order for it to be a charitable institution, because it provides medical services, it has to provide the services to everyone without regard to ability to pay. And they repeatedly say that they do that. But if you look at the charity policy in the record that was in effect for 2003-2006, it's actually an anti-charity policy. They make all efforts to collect on the 20% Medicare copay, regardless of financial status, even if they're indigent, even if their circumstances changes. That's on supplement pages 184 and 185. And they collect on that for 730 days. But in 2008, long after the periods involved here, they changed their policy. And when they do the now in 2008 and afterwards, redetermined the patient's financial status to see if it changed. That's the key thing that's missing. And so they, at the hearing, they've talked in the present tense that we have a charity care policy and we provide care without regard to ability to pay, but that wasn't the case in 2003 to 2006. And the new policy is on supplement page 27. They also claim that they're losing money on Medicaid patients, but there's nothing in the record about that. There's no actual costs in the record. There's only self-serving testimony, no underlying documentation, no quantification, only general statements. So in sum, the property at issue does not qualify for charitable exemption for several independent reasons. One being that none of the entities involved are charitable institutions, and none of them have charitable activities. Another being that Chagrin is using the property with a view to profit, which they did not even raise in their notice of appeal, and that's why we have put Globe and Knowledge and Elwood in as additional authority. And that doesn't even take into account the profit that they're getting from the appreciation value of their properties. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Wade, you have 5 minutes and 57 seconds remaining.
Thank you, Your Honor. That was a lot to take in. I'd like to point out that counsel for the appellee keeps mentioning that we didn't have any evidence other than testimony, but I'd like to point out that was uncontradicted testimony during the hearing, and that the testimony showed that Community Dialysis Center had a charity care policy that welcomed any patient, regardless of their ability to pay, during the time at issue. Talking about a view to profit, that goes to whether the Chagrin Realty is a charitable institution. The board said that they weren't a charitable institution because they had a view to profit. Now, counsel for the appellee talked about Breeze and Morse, which we actually didn't brief because it came out right after our reply brief was entered into the record. But they didn't delineate which statute they were decided under. They had raised both the public school exception and the charitable exemption. The court didn't say which one it was saying that you had to show an intent to view to profit under which statute. Both of them talk about a view to profit and say that you need to have some evidence that there was an intent to profit from the lease. Here there was no intent to profit. The testimony, the uncontradicted testimony during the hearing showed that it was a triple net lease that was to recover the costs for the construction of the building, not to profit from the lease. Chagrin Realty can't keep any money in it. It has to disperse all money to the Rosenberg Foundation, which used it to repay for the construction of the building.
And you would agree that the revenue exceeded the cost, is that correct?
Well, it exceeded the cost for Chagrin Realty because Chagrin Realty didn't pay for the construction of the building. They're pretty much a flow-through entity. So the Rosenberg Foundation paid for the construction of the building. The payments go to Chagrin Realty, and then Chagrin Realty disperses them to the Rosenberg Foundation to repay the costs of construction.
And then based on that, would you agree that the core activity of Chagrin Realty is the leasing and distribution of the proceeds?
That's what a 501c2 is. It's to hold the property, to lease it, and to disperse it to their parents. It's not unlike the dialysis centers of the one I mentioned. Sorry, I'm blanking on the name. Dialysis Centers of Dayton, LLC. That was also a flow-through entity. It was disregarded under federal tax law, an LLC. And they said when it was owned by a profit-making private physicians, it was not a charitable institution, but once it was owned by a hospital, which it dispersed all those payments to, it was a charitable institution. We have the same thing here. It's owned by a charitable institution, and it disperses all those payments to a charitable institution. It's pretty much just a title-holding company that functions just as a flow-through so that community dialysis centers can repay the Rosenberg Foundation.
So do you think that the federal tax status then qualifies it as an Ohio charitable institution?
I don't think it qualifies it, but I think it changes the analysis to determine whether it's a charitable institution. I don't think you can automatically say that, yes, it's charitable or no, it's not charitable based on whether the federal tax code says that it's charitable. But I think it changes how you look at whether it's charitable. I think you have to look at whether the parent, the sole controlling member of the company, is the charitable institution and how that money is passing through and how the property is being used. I'm definitely not saying that just because it's under federal tax law, a charitable institution, that it's charitable under state law as well. But I'm just saying that that has to change the analysis that going into it.
Okay. So is it your position then that this court should hold that if there's a federal tax exemption, that that would change the analysis for an Ohio charitable institution?
I think they have to look at what type of company and how the federal law works and why it's set up that way. I mean, they've dealt with title holding companies before that are disregarded entities under federal tax law, and they've done the analysis differently for those. We're just asking for the same thing here. It's just a 501c2 instead of an LLC that's disregarded under federal law. So it just goes into how the analysis is. It's not a yes or no, this is because it's under federal law. It's just, I think you just have to look at a different type of analysis and a different approach to it. It's, Chagrin Realty really is a very, very limited company that just pretty much provides a flow through for the other two, and a way to restrict liability between the three companies. Now, there was some mention about Centers for Dialysis Care and some of the confusion there. Community Dialysis Center hires Centers for Dialysis Care to help manage the property there. They provide the staffing for the thing, but Community Dialysis Center is the one that owns the property. They are, or not, is the lessee of the property. They're the ones that control everything. And nonprofit companies can hire for-profit companies to work at their facility. It's done before, it's done in the past, and truthfully, the appellees cited nothing to say that that should deny them an exemption because they hire a for-profit company. So I think, in the end, we're just saying that we think the analysis needs to be a little bit different for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of the decision.